In our final few minutes together, I'd love for us to examine the topic of leading peers for God's glory. Leading peers for God's glory. I'll open up in a word of prayer and then we'll jump into this last session here today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these young people. Thank you for their energy. Thank you for their spirit. Thank you for this opportunity to be here, to interact with one another, to discuss leadership and to learn from your word and what you have to say about this topic. I pray you would bless us now, that you would strengthen us, and that you would be honored and glorified in this time together. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Opening question, and you can just think to yourself, maybe even talk to the person beside you, but what makes a good leader a good leader? What is it about that person that makes them a good leader? What do you think? Just kind of chit-chat among yourselves for the next few seconds. Ready? Go, 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 go. Alrighty. Next question. Who is a leader in your life? Talk. All right. I want you, in your conversation, if in your conversation, the word, one of the people that's a leader in your life, if one of the words that came out of your mouth was, my teachers. Next, what about my pastor. Next, what about my mom or dad, my parents? All right. Next, what about my state representative? What about the president of my mom or dad's company here in Greenville? So what am I getting at? The people in your life that are leaders are usually, a lot of teens when I ask this question say mom and dad, teachers, pastors, coaches. These are the people in your life that you consider to be leaders in your life. Why is that? Because these are the people that have an influence, an impact upon your life on a daily basis. And you say, Matthew, you're talking about leading peers for God's glory. I don't have a position. I'm not a parent with a family. What are you talking about leading? I'm not in a position to lead. And I would say leadership has often been defined as influence. I think that's a fairly good definition that's simple and short about leadership. Can you, as a student in your respective school, have an influence on your peers? Absolutely. And it is an incredible privilege for me to even talk about this, leading peers, those around you, influencing those around you for God's glory. But what does it even mean to glorify God? You know, we hear this word glory. Is it like some part of a Christmas carol, like, is that like what glory means? So glory, what does glory mean? Old Testament usage of the word has the idea of weightiness. New Testament idea of the word, awe, wonder. How can we glorify God? A couple of thoughts. Isaiah 43:7 says, we were created for His glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do it for God's glory. You say, what does it mean to glorify God? An illustration that has helped me understand this is in the realm of science. Science was not my best subject in school. I have some of my former science teachers in the audience. And I struggled in those classes academically to do well, and I studied harder at those classes because it didn't come naturally to me. And in those classes, we would have this contraption, and that you would put a little glass slide underneath, and then you would look down and see this little thing, and you would try to focus. And I was always bad at focusing, and I couldn't do it. What is this thing called? It's called a microscope. What does a microscope do? It magnifies. It magnifies. It takes something very, 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 very small and makes it a whole lot bigger so you and I can see it with our eyes through the little microscope. There's also a contraption in the science realm of learning. You take it outside on a cool, clear evening. You focus it up at the stars. And this is something that is called a telescope. What does a telescope do? It magnifies. But here's a question. Does a telescope magnify the same way as a microscope? No. A microscope makes something small look very big. A telescope makes something that is very, 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 very big, but very, very far away look like it really is. And our life can be like that, can be like a telescope for the glory and grandeur of God. This world, many are lost and dying. They have no concept. The Bible says their minds are blinded. But God has given us the mission to reflect His glory, to magnify who He is. And we glorify God when our lives reflect and magnify truth about God. So how can we lead our peers? How can we influence those around us for God's glory? First, have a knowledge of God. And God has revealed Himself in the created world. Psalm 19, the heavens declare, they shout who God is. You can look at waterfalls, mountains, trees, forests. Wow. God spoke this all into existence. That is amazing. It communicates who God is. We also have special revelation, the Word, the Bible. And in it, God reveals Himself to us. And it is a precious book. We heard this morning about how it's being translated into different languages all over the world. I told you I was an English teacher in China. And part of that was in efforts to get the gospel to places in China. And one day I was in a Christian bookstore in China, and I was looking for a gift for my mom, to give my mom a birthday gift. And my mom loves to read, so I got her a packet of bookmarks. And in the bookmarks, there were verses in Chinese. And one of my favorite verses is Matthew 6:33. But she's writing all to you, add unto you. That's a great verse. But in this bookmark packet, my mom didn't need 15 of these bookmarks, so they were all in the packet. So I was looking around the bookstore for students to just give these bookmarks to. I gave my bookmark, gave a bookmark to a student named Lily, and she said, "Oh, thank you." And she read it in Chinese. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." She said, "Oh, this is beautiful." And she saw the reference, Matthew 6:33. She looked at me and she said, "Matthew, did you write these words?" And we laughed, but guess what? She didn't know about this book. What was she going to ask? So she saw Matthew, knew my name was Matthew, and asked if I wrote these words. I said, "No, Matthew a long time ago wrote these words." And I got her a Chinese Bible, and I showed the verse to her in the Bible that she wrote on the bookmark, and she just kept reading and reading and reading that day in a Christian bookstore. The first time in her life she interacted with the Scriptures. Young people, God has given us His written Word. He's revealed Himself to us, and we can know Him. So know God through general revelation, through special revelation. And His special revelation communicates to us the overarching story of Scripture. Creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. God created the world. Man sinned. We need a Savior. God sent His Son, Jesus, to come and redeem us. And He came to restore us. Restore means to make new. And right now, if you're a believer, you are in the process of being made new. And guess what? The process is painful often. It hurts. And it came at a price. It cost God something. Restores to make new. And God is making you new through the experiences of your life. I told you I love to run. I was running a couple years ago here in Greenville on Paris Mountain. I was doing a trail run. And guess what? I tripped and fell. It was at nighttime in the dark. And I tripped. The headlight I was using was not bright enough. And I fell, tripped over a root, hit a rock. And I busted out my three front teeth. If you have a queasy stomach, close your eyes, because I'm about to show you a picture of my three front teeth. So this... Yeah, close your eyes if you don't like gross stuff. This was me that morning. So what happened? I called my wife. I said, "Hello, Fleur, I have a problem." She said, "What's the problem?" I said, "I knocked out my front teeth." I immediately went to the dentist. This tooth was hanging by... This is gross. They cut that tooth off, so it had a big gap. They gave me a retainer and filled it in with teeth so I could wear the retainer, but when I had to eat, I had to take out the retainer, so it's like eating all weird and like stuff was coming out of the gap. It was gross. I had to have multiple surgeries, and I have implants now in my mouth. These are all fake teeth. And guess what? This process of restoration, of making new, it was expensive, it was painful, and it took a long time. In your life, God is making you new. It's expensive. It cost Him His Son. The price of your sin and my sin was the death of the perfect Son of God. That should humble us. And that should inspire us to live for His glory. That God made a way for salvation, and He is in the process of restoring us. And it takes a long time to make us new. And it's often painful in your life. You're going through painful stuff, some of you. And if not today, then in the future. Life is not easy, but God is good. And He is restoring us. So to lead your peers, to lead others, you first have to know who God is. Second, know who you are in God. This is about your identity. What makes you, you? Your identity is not based on what you do, not based on what you're good at, not based on your school or group of friends. It's not based on where you're from. It's not based on what talents you have. Your identity is primarily based on who God says you are. If you're a Christian, God calls you my child. And that gives you confidence of who you are. One quote says, "We must remember that we don't find our identity. We receive our identity from God. We are made in God's image and God's likeness." And knowing who you are gives you the confidence in front of your peers and others around you to live a life for God's glory. It gives you the courage. Your identity in God is a foundation for your life and gives you courage to be who you are. One example is from the game of soccer. I love soccer. Grew up playing soccer. Now I referee soccer. So I get to referee USSF, United States Soccer Federation games, a lot of high school games, and also NCAA college games. So I was doing a game at Furman University. It was Furman against the University of Alabama. And I'm the referee. Do you think everything I decided, the coaches agreed with? No. I remember I was doing another game last year, and I made a decision. Gave the direction, the coach. What did I do as the referee? Did I do this? Coach, you're right, I'm sorry. Did I do that? No. The coach. What did I do? I said, "Coach, that's enough. Be quiet." But what gave me the confidence to do that to the coach? My identity as a referee. It was what I was, that the purpose of me being there. As a child of God, you have a purpose for being here. To live a life that reflects Him and that honors and glorifies Him. And your identity as a son or daughter of God can give you the courage to lead your peers for God's glory. So first, know God. Second, know your identity in God. Know who you are in God. And thirdly, how to influence and lead your peers for God's glory. Simply know and love others. So some verses from the book of Matthew. Jesus called unto them and said, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Young people, you've heard perhaps the phrase servant leadership. And this is the biblical model. Serving those you have the privilege to lead. Serving those you have the privilege to influence. On the left side, you see often it's what's called a corporate organizational leadership structure. It's top down, right? Senior leader, he tells people what to do. He dictates plans. On the other side, it's kind of an inverted pyramid. It's not small to big. It's coming up, small to big. And it's a tree. Leadership at the bottom. And the purpose of a leader in this servant leadership model is to give life and to cause people to flourish who you have the opportunity to serve. And there are organizations that are modeling both of these. And the people who have life and joy and really results in the company are often the people who follow this leadership model of a tree where the leader is serving and giving life to those in the corporation organization. And maybe you have a leadership position even in your school. Maybe you have a leadership position in a youth group or a club or a team. Use that to serve others and to be a source of life for them. But you don't even have to have a position. You don't have to have a title to influence and impact, which is leadership, to the lives of those who you interact with on a daily basis in school, maybe at work if you have part-time jobs or at church. And I know it's so easy as teens to be concerned what other people think, and it can be paralyzing. And one of the final quotes is one that's really encouraged me. It said, "My greatest enemy in becoming a true leader has been my desire to be loved by everyone, leading to some unhealthy extremes in my life. Knowing this, I must daily ask myself, am I making this decision out of a desire to be loved or to be loving?" Leadership isn't about being in charge. It's about growing and developing and taking care of the people in your charge. The primary purpose of a spiritual leader, as one writer says, is not so much to dictate plans, but to develop people. And right now, each of you, you have a story. I've heard a lot of stories today, and right now, each of you have a story. You've had experiences, you've had challenges, you've had disappointments, you've also had victories, you've had successes, you've had mountaintops, and God is working in and through you to change you and to expand your capabilities to be a servant for Him. And I want to encourage you, like we talked about in the first session, to develop character, to develop competence, to develop courage, and to develop commitment. And to ask yourself, what story are you writing? What story will you allow God to write with your life? What difference can you make today in the lives of those nearest to you? How can you encourage others? How can you impact others? How can you be a force for good in your school, in your church, in your community? You guys are full of incredible energy, incredible ideas, amazing potential, not just for the future, but right now, the differences you can make in your school, in the community, as you seek to lead and impact peers for God's glory. I'm going to pray. You guys will be dismissed. I'm happy to hang around here at the front of the room. If you have questions or thoughts, I'd love to hear from you and hear feedback. I want to thank you for your attention, and I want to challenge you to not leave today all excited because you got a day off of classes, but to think to yourself how what we've learned today, this morning and this afternoon, can impact you to make a difference wherever God has called you, and then to have the courage and the character, the competence, and the commitment to go and be that change. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this afternoon. Thank you for these young people. Thank you for their attention, their energy, their eagerness to learn. I pray that you would bless them. Pray that you would bless their student bodies, that they would take what they've learned today and even take it back to
their student bodies and a lot of the younger kids in the younger grades that were not here today, that these teens would be a blessing to them to grow and develop them. Thank you for the teachers and administrators that are here and the investment that they're making in the lives of so many of these young people. I pray that you would bless them, encourage them, and strengthen them. And ultimately that you would be honored and glorified through our efforts today, and that you continue growing and changing us for your glory, that we'd be more like Christ, and that you'd be honored and glorified through that. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.